All right, I'll see you Thursday.
Thursday night?
Yeah. It's Thursday, Thursday's the day before Friday, the day after Wednesday, 2 days after Tuesday.
Thursday.
Because it's Wednesday.
Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
Thursday, I don't care about you. Thursday doesn't even start.
So sometime between now and Thursday, I've got to come up with a small fortune.
It's the gateway to the weekend. Thursday. Now here's Bob and Sherry.
Oh, it's the gateway to the weekend. Happy Thursday, everybody. Got a big show for you coming up today. We've got comedian Mike James. We're going to talk about the top conspiracy theories around the very mysterious Princess of Wales. What is up with Kate Middleton and why has she not been seen since January? And why is everyone so hush-hush about her condition? So we're going to run through those top theories, and I just want to share with y'all, it's been kind of a hectic start to my day here at the Sherry Lynch Orthopedic Rehab Hospital that I'm running. I've had kind of a wild morning, and I had to take the trash out. You know, that's always, I enjoy that so much in the pre-dawn hours, wheeling the trash can down the giant steep hill that our house is on. And I'm fed all the critters and made Kev some breakfast and moved all the cat toys out of his path, because while we sleep at night, Larry Munson takes his cat toys, his babies, and it is not a coincidence and it is not an accident, because we've been tracking it. He carefully positions them in Kevin's path so that Kevin runs them over and trips over them. So dealt with all that, took a shower, got dressed, came down, was unable to log on to the internet because you know my issues with Spectrum, rebooted all the equipment. It finally comes back up and I have a little coaster on my desk. I got it for Valentine's Day probably 5 years ago, and you put your coffee on it. And it's pressure sensitive. When the weight of the coffee cup gets on the coaster, it turns it on and it keeps it hot.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
I mean, it's very cool. I've had it for 5 years. Like, I don't know what Kev paid for it, but doesn't owe anybody anything. It gets the job done. Well, I didn't really think about it. With everything so crazy today, I didn't even have time to make some coffee. And so I'm sitting down at my desk and Larry Munson is sitting on my desk with me, watching me work, which he does sometimes. And what I didn't realize was that Larry Munson had sat himself down on the coaster. And it took a bit, I guess, for the weight. He weighs 18 pounds, which is more than the average cup of coffee, unless you're Lamar. Okay. So it took a bit, I guess, for the coaster from the weight of the cat to heat up. But I'm sitting here and I'm like, why won't this boot up? What the? And I'm Spectrum. What is it today? It's always something. It's every day. Every day. What can? And suddenly I hear, and he goes buck wild. I'm surprised he didn't knock my computer off. Let out a scream and shot off the desk. I don't think his paws touched the ground and was up the stairs and gone before I realized, oh, he was sitting on the coffee coaster. Well, that'll teach him. So cheers,
gonna
everybody.
He's going to leave you alone. He's going to leave you alone now.
Oh, I'm not going to be bothered for days.
That thing about the animal toys in the path. My dog doesn't do that. He doesn't, you know, put them in the path, but they are everywhere. And when Madison's dog, Dudley, who's also a Labradoodle, came to visit, I think he left one here too. Between the two of them, there were animal toys all over the place. And I think about that. If I get up in the middle of the night and I step on Dino, which is the favorite one of Finn's, you know, all of a sudden I'm flying. So every night I make coffee for the next day. I make sure the temperature is where it should be. All of the doors are locked. The dog has gone out and the pathways are cleared so that there's not a problem. One of the things with those little, we call them his babies. When Dudley was here, Dudley figured out, he's not the brightest dog, but he can figure some stuff out. He's still kind of a puppy. He would figure out the favorite toy of Finn's. And right after he ate, he had all that protein in him, he would go find it. And Finn would get an eye, and the two of them would together do a tug of war with Dino. And it really was the cutest thing. I mean, it was like Roman gladiators going after each other because they're about the same size now. Yeah, I just loved it. I loved it.
You know what's not so cute? See, Larry Munson's babies are all roughly the size of like a ping pong ball. And he's got about a dozen of them. And while we sleep, he carries them one by one in his mouth and creates a path from the bedroom door to the kitchen. And when they're not big like Dino, and it's dark when we wake up in the morning and the scooter wheel catches one of those wrong, we had a little calamity. So it's pure evil. But, you know, it's all going to be awesome now because here at Sherry Lynch's Orthopedic Hospital, you get top notch care post-op from a morning DJ. And isn't that what Americans demand from their healthcare system? We got more Hunts in the News coming up. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
So there have been so many nutty stories about airplane doors flying off and bolts not being installed and all sorts of chaos and drama in my Twitter feed. Just this morning, I'm reading about a guy who said, I was woken up out of my Panda Express in tequila coma because a guy four rows back was trying to tear the emergency door open and a bunch of passengers had to subdue this guy on this plane, right? That's nothing compared to what Max has for us right here. Take it away, Max.
This is a United Airlines flight that had to make an emergency landing in Colorado because they noticed that the wing looked like it was coming apart.
Tonight, tense moments on board this United Airlines flight, a Boeing 757 making an emergency landing, this video showing damage to the wing.
Touchdown any second, and the nightmare will be over.
Chunks seen missing from a broken slat. Kevin Clark recording that video saying he sensed something was wrong as the flight took off.
Plane takes off, and all of a sudden it hears loud, violent vibration. And
one passenger saying they saw what looked like paint peeling from the wing. The plane was carrying 165 passengers from San Francisco to Boston Monday afternoon, but the crew reporting that possible issue, choosing instead to make an emergency landing in Denver.
Next thing you know, the pilot's walking down the aisle. He walks past my seat, couple seats back, and he looks out the window. A minute later, he comes on the PA system and announces that we've sustained some damage to the slat.
The plane landing safely, crews then seen assessing the damage. And tonight, the FAA now investigating the incident with this Boeing 757. It comes only a month after that door plug blew off an Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 9.
This incident has nothing to do with other Boeing incidents we've seen. This is an older airplane, but it's a very reliable airplane. So the FAA will look at, was it a fatigue problem? Did it happen just because the airplane is old and been used quite a bit? Or was there some problem with the maintenance?
So now I have to ask, what seat am I in and how old is this thing?
The thing that I like is, Boeing's had some other problems, but this problem doesn't have anything to do with the other Boeing problems.
That's supposed to provide
me with some comfort.
I'm glad I don't have stock in Boeing. Holy cow, that is really, between that and passengers having fist fights with one another, bloodying each other like we had a few days ago. I mean, it is crazy.
I don't know what to say about all of these issues that Boeing is having other than maybe there's something to this retaining skilled, experienced, highly trained employees by paying them what they're worth and giving them some benefits. Oh, no, that's probably not it.
Put somebody on checking out, you know, whether or not older crafts are safe to go. That's what that one was there. It was fatigue. It's been up there too long.
You know what I think? I think there, all of us assume that there is a level above us that is populated by responsible, sober-minded, hardworking adults. And it's impossible for us to accept that that's supposed to be us.
It's true.
There are no more adulty adults than us working anywhere. Isn't that terrifying? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you got to hire the right people, too. If you have a plane inspector, you don't want Bob Lacey because, you know, I'm going to go, I'm going to inspect another plane. They're always fine. They're always fine. I am so hungry. Let me look this thing over. give it a good slap. Yeah, that's fine. Good luck to you. I got
to
eat.
To see the paint and everything else sort of peeling off on this wing, coupled with the fact that he felt the vibration, yeah, that would get your attention, I'm
sure.
Well,
the pilot walking down the aisle, taking a look out the little window, is not normal.
That upsets me as much as anything. Like, the pilot left the cockpit to come get a look-see for himself. Like, that's okay, so what would you do? Other than, like, pray feverishly, what would you do if you found yourself on that flight?
I would try as hard as I can. I mean, I can give you a funny answer, like cry, but I would just try to stay as calm as I can be and not think thoughts such as, well, it's been a good life overall, you know? A lot of people went before me, so. Or as Billy Graham once said, he was asked that question, and he said, I think it would be a wonderful way to die very quickly. No. Dr. Graham, I'm not with you there.
No. Bob, for the first time in his life, would pay for in-flight Wi-Fi so that the last thing he did on this earth was text Tony and go, this is your fault. You did this to me.
I hope there's somebody next to me that could help me with the Wi-Fi. I've never had it up there.
Yeah, you don't have time. You don't have time to learn. All right, we got Morons in the News straight ahead. This is Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Here we go!
It's Bob and Sherry.
The craziest.
Moronic. Asinine.
With Morons in the News.
Well, it's another day and another stupid TikTok challenge. This time it involves a group of Long Island teenagers who allegedly decided to emulate the Kool-Aid man's move of busting through walls. I'm going to have to take that for granted because I sort of remember that move, but not you know, vividly. They're accused, instead of knocking down walls, they're kicking down local fences. The report came from the Suffolk County Police, and all the people were at least in their teens, and one guy was an adult. So they were between the ages of 12 and 18 and one adult. I've often thought, is it kind of creepy to be the adult and you're out there, you know, unless you're a guardian or something, with teenagers? I mean, what's that guy doing kicking down fences? It's stupid enough with teenagers, let alone there's a male there who's in his 20s, I guess. They were all arrested. It sounded like a gun going off, retired corrections officer Charles Delamy said. And they were evidently all over this area, just knocking down fences. You're 12 years old. You're out at 3 o'clock in the morning. Where are your parents? Damali said. Police said it appears at least four other homes in the area were hit by the same perps. They're going to be in court next month. I don't know. Is that all over TikTok, kicking down the walls and doors and fences now?
I mean, I'm looking at Taylor Swift live streams on TikTok, so I haven't seen that. But
haven't seen that one? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll check with Mary.
Well, 18-year-old Ann Hariki was working at an Indiana car wash where her job was to pre-spray the cars right before they go into the auto wash. They all have that job. And she said, I was loading the car just like I did so many cars before, making sure that they safely enter the car wash belt that will take them all the way through. As she was spraying the car, the driver rolls down her window and throws a big lemonade at her. Hariki said, I was in shock. Hariki immediately turned the pressure washer to the woman and sprayed her in the face with a high pressure washer. And she said, once the car pulled all the way in, I put the numbers in the system. They got the car wash they paid for. You know, we're good. And while talking about her employer, how they reacted to the situation, she shared, I told my managers what happened, and they were not okay with her throwing the drink at me. So they decided to ban her and her boyfriend from the car wash forever. There's no word on why the woman threw the drink. Was she mad? Was it a joke? Was she just a jerk? Who knows? But I'm sure her face has never felt so clean and so scrubbed in her life.
I'd give anything to be in the car behind her. That was fantastic that they didn't fire the attendant.
Yep.
And finally, we have video of this, too, from Golden Gate Estates, Florida. A woman said she woke up to an absolute mess outside of her house. That's right near Naples. And when she took a closer look, she realized that the mess just wasn't in her yard and driveway, that her car had been destroyed. Was it a vandal? Was it a criminal? Was it like a group of marauding teenagers, like out of a movie? No, it was a hungry bear. The bear totally destroyed the entire passenger side of the car, tore open the whole door panel. They can't get the door of the car open at all. They can't even get the windows down. What made the bear go buck wild on this lady's car? She had left some Valentine's Day candy that was a gift from her boyfriend in the front seat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She won't do that again. Yeah, wow.
Well, no, she won't, because that car is off to the junkyard. Wait till you see what this bear did to get to those chocolates. That is, we'll put that up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. That is Morons in the News for today. Keep it here for comedian Mike James. Things Bob didn't know. And what's really going on with Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales? Hmm. Some very wild conspiracy theories floating around out there. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Just before Max joined us as director, producer, we had a fellow named John Cosby who was helping with the show. He was the producer. He owns a production company now, and he's still a good friend of ours. And I used to love, in his studio, he would post these newspaper clippings that were just kind of, well, strange. And one of them, my favorite, was the headline: with the return of big hair comes big problems. And so, with all the things going on in the world, you would think, maybe the problems aren't that big. Well, he might want to get that clipping out again, because I am reading in the New York Times about the return of big hair. It's on runways in New York's Fashion Week, and you might have seen... Did everybody see Miley Cyrus and that big updo?
Oh,
that
bouffant
updo. I didn't recognize her at first. I
didn't either. And of course, if you watch Capote versus the Swans, they all, because it's back in the 1950s, have these big bouffant hairdos. And they really are amazing to look at. I mean, Demi Moore in her character has this jet black, Elvis black hair with the bouffant that just sits up there. It would be aerodynamically hard to walk in, I would think. And it's all over the country now. It's women are going, that is kind of cool. What do you think? Is this going to make a real comeback? It's such a throwback to the 1950s.
It's so much work that I think it's going to make a comeback on runways and in magazine shoots, but not in everyday life. I think it'll be a going out on the town look, but
yeah,
I know a lot of women that did big hair and would not go back to all that labor again.
I never thought but of it be, as that labor intensive. I guess it could be to get it just right.
It's going to be wild for me the first time Caramille strolls out of the bathroom in a bouffant. I'm just going to tell you.
Oh, nothing says grown up more than that. So there it is, the latest. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It is time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Mike James.
Anyway, I've been married 35 years this year, I think. It's a long time. It's a really, really long time, actually. I remember when we got married, Pastor said, till death do you part. And I was like, all right. I didn't think I'd live this long, to be honest with you. It's a little longer than I anticipated. But I'm lucky, because my wife is great. And I definitely married out of my league. She is a way better person than I am in almost every way. She is. But I think all men marry out of their league, honestly. I think if you're a man and you're married, you're out of your league. Because, I mean, if you're a man, you know there's not a woman on earth as gross as you, right? I mean, we can admit that. That's pretty true. So, 35 years is a long time. People want to know what the secret is to being married. I think it's funny they ask me. I'm not sure what the secret is. This is my trick. if it helps. I never got divorced. I know it seems obvious, but that's what I did. My brother got divorced, and it just looked like too much paperwork. If I'm not going to file my taxes, I'm certainly not going to go through that. Right? That makes no sense at all. So laziness, I guess, is one of the secrets. Quality time. That's what a lot of people say. Quality time is important. When we got married, I was in the military. I was in the Navy, and I was deployed all the time. And now, you know, I do this for a living, so I'm usually on the road. Well, not in the last year, so I've been home a lot more. And I can tell you this, quantity time is not the secret to good marriage. The quality time is. So when I am home, I want to make sure we go out on date night. We have quality time, right? So I'll take my wife out. I'll like take her to dinner or something. And she'll go, I got to tell you, my wife will go anywhere I want. She's not picky. She'll go anywhere I want to go eat. Her only rule is it can't be one of the first 7 places I suggest. I don't know why. And then we go out. This is so funny. My she does this all the time. It's a weird thing she has, but I find a lot of women that do this. We'll go out and she'll observe other couples and then she'll tell me what's going on with them. Right? Yeah. She'll, oh, look, they're on their first date. Short head salad. Things are going. You don't know them at all. What are you talking about? She'll point out older couples. Always the same thing with an older couple. Look at that. I'll bet they're on like their 50th anniversary. It's so sweet. And she always says this. It's so sad, though. They're just sitting there staring and eating. They're not even talking. And I'm just thinking, that would be awesome. When does that start happening? I'd love to know when that starts. I'm very curious, you know, what does steak taste like if you're not choking it down with I'm sorry? I don't know. Cool. And we don't have to go out for a quality time. We can stay in. We'll stay in, you know, and have, you know, watch TV, play a game. My wife loves playing games. That's her favorite thing. We'll do that. And her favorite game, if you guys are married, that you've played this game, it's her favorite game. It's called Guess Why I'm Upset. You ever play that? That's a hoot, isn't it? I've never beat her. 35 years, I've never won. Not one time. I'm not even sure what the rules are, to be honest with you.
I tell you, he's got an unusual pacing, but that was funny. Guess why I'm upset? Oh, the worst.
I really relate it to the we can go anywhere except for the first 7 places. Ah, 7 commands.
Yeah, I know.
But it's flipped in my relationship. I'm the one who's going, yeah. Well, what about tacos? What about you wanna just go get a cheeseburger? No, you don't want pizza. No, you don't want Thai.
It's exhausting.
No, you don't want Indian. How about, I think there's an old cracker in the back of the kitchen closet. How about that with some peanut butter? How would that be? Yeah. Does that sound good?
That's right.
We'll get Mike James posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab. Look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. And while you're there, why don't you sign up for the Bob and Sherry newsletter? We would love to have you. We don't spam you. We just once a month send out a really fun newsletter with all sorts of content and contests and pictures and sometimes video. It's really fun and you should join us. We would love to have you there. BOBANDSHERI.com. Do not go anywhere. We got so much more of the show ahead because this is Bob and Sherry.
Use the talk back feature.
Talk back feature
on the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
You know, I never knew this existed till I read this story. This guy's name was Chuck Rupert. And he got laid off from his job in the oil and gas business when he was 50 years old. And so now he's having to scramble to make some money. So he had a friend at the time that ran a taxidermy business in rural Pennsylvania. And he told Rupert that he would show him the tricks of the trade. So after working with his buddy for a time, Rupert purchased the taxidermy business and he started Second Life Freeze Dry, where he happily works today. And the it's where you freeze dry your pet. Okay. You freeze dry it instead of doing the normal taxidermy.
Oh, okay.
He's done in the past 10 years, he's done all kinds of variety of animals. He's done otters and deer, snapping turtles, squirrels. The weirdest thing he ever did, he freeze dried a woman's foot. Because of her religious beliefs. But the majority of his business comes from small family pets like cats and dogs. And so if somebody wants to get their pets stuffed, it's a very emotional experience. And the customer's still in the grieving process, and it's really tough. But Rupert explained that preserving pets through freeze drying is effective because the bitter cold temperatures remove all the moisture from their bodies without disturbing them and taking them apart and stuff. This means that he can take the pets right out of the machine, make some minor touch-ups, and then send them right back to the loving owners. The freeze drying takes months, though, for the body to be cured. So as a result, he has to charge more for bigger pets because they take up a lot of space in his freeze drying vessels. Like one guy paid him $4,000 for like a large dog. The average dog or cat that he's doing is 10 to 12 pounds, and they'll be in the dryer for 4 to 5 months. But a big dog could be there for almost a year.
So now, are you saying that you'd get your pet freeze dried and yes. Your pet comes back with all their fur and their little yep. bright eyes and everything in a pose, like a taxidermy pose, but they've been just freeze dried, like one of those freeze dried strawberries that you can buy yeah. at a store. Yeah. Like
I went ahead and researched this a little bit more because I'm thinking, you. is this guy some weirdo out in the middle of nowhere doing this? But no. It's all across the country. It's all across the country. And here's what happens. When your pet passes, they want you to put them, seal them up, and you can do it in a trash bag or whatever, but you seal them up and put them directly in the freezer. Hopefully within the first 6 hours of their passing. The sooner you get them frozen, the better off they are.
Boy, I don't know what you and Bob are going to do because Finn and Darby are big animals.
Yeah.
Can I say people are wondering why is Bob silent? Because he's in hell, folks. That's why Bob's silent right now. No one can hear him scream.
Well, at least I know what to do with my otter, my pet otter.
Oh my gosh.
You do is once you get it frozen, you transport it to the taxidermist and he takes care of it. And you give him pictures of the pet or whatever, how you want it posed. And then they pose it like that. And once you get it back, it lasts. I would never under any circumstances. That's just not me. Not doing it.
But I'm not either. It's so creepy and sad.
Yeah, I would never do it. I'm not doing it. I'm not even big on looking at pictures. Once that's done, I don't want to be.
I know. It's so sad when that happens. That's right.
And I knew this was not going to be your favorite thing, Bob.
No. It's not anywhere near it. But there's some sites.
You can go on and put in freeze-dried taxidermy, and tons of websites come up and, you know.
Yep. You know, though, there are a lot of people that are going to do this and who are doing it. I mean, it's definitely not for you two, but I can think of a handful of people. I got a couple in mind right now that would be like, yup, here you go.
Can you imagine how creepy that house is, though, that he works out of? With all these animals in there being freeze-dried for a period of weeks or months?
Everybody thinks taxidermists are weirdos, but they're not. They love animals. They love nature. Yeah. A lot of them are conservationists.
Yeah. We talked to one in the True Weird Stuff episode. Remember? And I'm not, you know.
He loves Jeffrey Dahmer. Now, he doesn't do people's pets, but then again, he's a traditional taxidermist, not a freeze-dried. Yeah. This is a wild story. And Lamar, I want to thank you for you being the one to bring this one today.
I was going to talk to you about that. I'm a little surprised.
It's Bob and Sherry.
And now on the Bob and Sherry Show, it's another exciting episode of Things Bob Didn't Know. It's been a
hard day's night. I've loved Beatles since I was a kid. And I'm really excited that they're kind of back in the news again. Paul McCartney at 80 is still touring. And they had a song that they cobbled together from a track that John had that was a number one song around the world.
and they're making movies, individual movies about each of the individual Beatles, their life story. And I think there's enough there for each of them. And so I was really charmed when I found the Beatles Backstage Writer. And if you don't know what that is, a contract will go out to a promoter and they'll be told, all right, this is the amount of money and this is what we need. And generally, you know, it's very specific, both with the stage stuff, you know, the speakers, how many grips, backstage, you have to have a private room for each of the performers, if it's possible. You want crystal champagne. You want to have several selections of salmon, food trays. You want a lot of protection. In Shania Twain's case, I always thought this was interesting, and she was not the only one. When she's walking between her dressing room and the stage, no one is allowed to look her in the eye because it throws her off. There are other artists that would say, you can look at me, but don't talk to me. And, you know, you sort of understand that because they're trying to focus. They're going in front of thousands of people if they're really big stars. And, you know, kind of say, all right. But then it got ridiculous over the years. You know, it was the famous, what was it, green M&Ms that Van Halen asked for.
Yeah.
And they said that they did it just to make sure that somebody who's reading the writer was paying attention and that they got what they needed. So after hearing all of that, here is, in 1965, when the Beatles toured the United States, here is their writer. It contains three pages. This is right before their Portland, Oregon stop. And there are no requirements of bendy straws, a certain type of condom, champagne. Instead, the most influential band ever just wanted adequate police protection, a high-fidelity sound system with an adequate number of speakers, and a simple platform for Ringo Starr and his drums. That was it for the performance. Backstage dressing room accommodations, four cots, two mirrors, an ice cooler, a portable TV, and clean towels. As for transportation, two seven-passenger Cadillac limousines, air-conditioned, if possible, with chauffeurs. And the writer also stipulated the band will not be required to perform before a segregated audience. And I didn't see it in this part, but I've read before, you could not book the Beatles for your kid's birthday party. Even if you had a $1 billion, they will not play for a private party. It had to be in an auditorium. And that was pretty much it. The thing that jumped out at me was four cots, an ice cooler, and clean towels.
It shows you where they were coming from. Yeah, it shows you where they were coming from.
I know. Now, it was a different time. And when they were on tour, they used to share rooms. George would share a room, believe it or not, with the infamous disc jockey, Murray the K. There's a Beatle over there, and there's a disc jockey over here to share the cost of traveling with rooms. Can you imagine that today?
Tony would love that. Our syndicated Tony would love that.
Oh, my God.
Saving money.
They've tried to do that to us. I can't imagine it today. I got no trouble imagining it today.
Beyonce, this woman, Sherry Lynch, is bringing us on. Are you going to be sharing the room with her? Are you okay with that? I mean, can you imagine these days? They're sharing anything? They don't want to share a cheese tray.
I mean, what's interesting here is the Beatles were first, so they didn't, I mean, there was no, like, other band writer to look at. They had to kind of invent this, right?
But it just showed they just didn't need a whole lot of anything at all. The one that really jumped out at me, talking about other writers, was there was an actor I read about named Yul Brynner. And he performed on stage, traveling shows, off-Broadway shows on stage. His only requirement was that his dressing room be painted dark brown because most dressing room walls are filthy. I thought that was interesting. You never think of those guys dealing with that sort of stuff.
No, you don't. Well, it just seems like something that you shouldn't have to ask for right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
When Jerry Seinfeld came to Spartanburg, he demanded a limo with New York license plates.
I remember you telling us that, and yep. I just couldn't understand. It was just something in his head, yes.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Happy Hour, tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
I'm going to tell y'all a story now that is going to restore your faith in humanity. And I know that's a tall order. So one night, a woman named Haley Milks was scrolling her Instagram, and she saw a post from a complete stranger, desperate woman in Miami. And the post said, David is my fiance. He received a kidney and pancreas transplant in 2012 due to damage caused by his type 1 diabetes. 3 years ago, his body began to reject his new kidney. Since then, he's been on dialysis 3 days a week, each time feeling weaker and more affected. If anyone is willing to be a live donor, please message me. Haley Milks, a complete stranger, decided, I'm going to do this. And she reached out to David Montoto and his wife, Melissa, and said, I want to be the donor. And believe it or not, it turned out that she was a match. Oh. So she goes into the hospital for the operation and gives one of her kidneys. And during her recovery period, all sorts of family members of David's came to her room to thank her for this incredible gesture. And one of the people to visit her was David's brother, William. And so they visited, and after Haley was discharged, they continued to kind of talk and text, and they got engaged in 2022, and they got married the following year, and their little blended family now has 7 children. She met her husband when she donated her kidney to his brother, a complete stranger.
That is an amazing story.
What a story! Gift. Oh! Yeah.
And you know, you want to talk about like that whole idea of an invisible string. Like, was Haley meant to end up with William all along? And this was the way that the universe brought them together? Or is this just one of those random lightning bolt? Like, out of the blue, late at night, she just gets this impulse. I'm going to give this stranger my kidney. And she's a match. And then she meets his brother. And they fall in love and they're married.
You know where it's a win for her big time? No matter what the get together is, she gets to do whatever she wants.
Okay. She doesn't have to bring anything to the potluck.
Nothing. Yeah. She can say, hey, I already gave one kidney. You want the other? What do I have to do with you people?
So we're going to pause right now because I have Jennifer Love Hewitt and the Hallmark Channel on the line. I'm putting this movie together as we speak.
No,
it's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
BobandSherry.com. You can nominate a teacher to win a trip to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach from Visit Florida. BobandSherry.com. It is talk back time. Would you like to call us on the phone? You know, people still do that at 844-52-SHERI, or grab our app. It's free in Google Play and the Apple Store, and you can use it to listen to the show and all the podcasts and enter contests and tap that little cartoon microphone bottom center of the screen and talk. And the app will do the rest.
Hey, Bob and Sherry. This is Devin from Florida. Just listened to the podcast where y'all were talking about renewing your vows, and I thought I'd share my thoughts on the subject. I think that vow renewal should not have a negative, like, connotation with them, because people who stay married should get to have another wedding, too. I've been married, Laura, it'll be 9 years in July, but we've been together since high school, and I would love to do a vow renewal, but I have a... My new plan is to do to buy a new wedding dress every decade, like a cheap one, and do pictures instead of a whole vow renewal. But yeah, I think that people who stay married should also get to have more ways to celebrate their marriage still going strong. So that's my thoughts on it. Wonder what y'all think back. Love the show. And that's it. Bye, guys.
Well, that's kind of cute. You know, she gets a new wedding dress every 10 years. I'm not quite sure why she would want that, a new wedding. Why not the same wedding dress? Put on a couple
maybe
of pounds.
We can't wear it every 10 years.
Well, because your taste changes.
A little bit.
Your taste changes. Like, maybe your first wedding.
Wouldn't you rather have a party, though?
No, that's because you're not a girl. Maybe your first wedding dress was some ridiculous Princess Diana kind of like floofy thing. And you know, this version of you wants something a little sleeker. Maybe you don't want to wear a white floofy thing every time. My favorite part about her call was that people who get married once only get to have one wedding. Like, that's not like that, like getting divorced, that's the perk. Well, the marriage is over, I'm broken, heartbroken, but I will get to have another wedding someday.
Well, think about it. If it's a renewal, you renew the wedding vow. So if everything's going to be new, it makes sense that maybe a new dress and, you know, a new everything. And they probably have a party afterwards, a reception of some sort, surely.
So. And it would be a much better party because you wouldn't have to do all that traditional wedding stuff. You could just do your you could do your vows at Margaritaville and then throw a beach party. Like, you wouldn't have to have all of that formality. I just think it's amazing to me how there are exactly two teams on vow renewals. People that love it and think it's romantic, and people that think it's stupid or a sign that somebody's been cheating or whatever. There's like no neutral ground on this subject. Why is that?
I don't know. I mean,
and either one's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of my business. Why do you think there's no neutral ground there, Bob?
I don't know. I'm kind of neutral ground. I mean, if Mary said she really wanted to do that, then I would say, okay, it's just, I don't need that to validate, you know, my love for her and our marriage. I don't need it. It's today, what is it for? More posts on Facebook and Instagram?
But, you know, there are people that do this privately and don't make a big public spectacle. And what if it's not about validating anything? What if y'all have been through hell? You know, maybe you've had a terrible illness that you weren't sure you were going to survive, or your house burned to the ground, your child had leukemia, right? Like, you've been through freaking hell and you came out on the other side still together and stronger than ever, and now those vows mean something different to you and you want to say them again. Like, what
if
it's
obviously
that?
I'm not going to argue with you when you put it that way. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I mean, how can I say, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, oh, so they struggled and now they want attention. No, I'm not going to say that.
But
I think whatever makes you feel good, you know?
Why is the assumption always that it's about some either superficial thing like Instagram likes or something nefarious like, well, he's a dirty, cheating dog, and this is what he's doing to crawl back into her good graces?
So you don't think there's anything to the idea that it could be a Hail Mary pass for the couple?
I think that that's possible, but I think that's the minority. And that might just be me being like a hopeless, naive romantic. But I think that's the minority. Because I've known some women whose husbands have been dirty, cheating dogs. And the last thing those women, they were willing to stay in the marriage, but the last thing they wanted to do was stand up in front of God and everybody. And
my parents did this at their 25th anniversary. They did this at their 25th anniversary. And they lasted, they lasted for 50 more years. And it was a service that was done in the Catholic Church. And they just sort of renewed their vows. And there was a celebration and we had a little party. And it was nice. There was no Hail Mary there. I think people like to do it.
You know what, Bob? I think we should.
I wish I never brought it up. I feel like the worst person in the
you
world.
You keep on
right
saying
now.
like this is the act of desperate people who are hoping this might fix it.
Let this beautiful music be a reminder to you that some of us are teenage girls in love with immortal 200-year-old vampires, and we deserve to have our love recognized. Okay?
Okay.
1,000 years, my ass! I'm gonna live forever as a vampire, Edward. We're just in love with love on the Bob and Sherry Show. Pop over to our website at bobandsherry.com. Register to win you a Bob and Sherry Me Party Love Month Prize Extravaganza. Straight ahead, what is up with Kate Middleton, and why ain't we seeing her? It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
So Lamar and I are both weirdly enjoying our time now as full-time home health care aides. And before the show started this morning, Bob, Lamar said to me, Sherry, let me ask you a question. How you doing with wrapping and rewrapping Kevin's surgery site? And that is the one thing I haven't had to do, because he came home from surgery in a full plaster surgical cast. And then they put him in a fiberglass cast. But Lamar, Carla has surgical wrappings that have to be changed all the time. And I think, you know, now in American healthcare, it's completely reasonable to expect that most of your post-op care will be performed by morning DJs and former Budweiser warehouse managers, because that's just how healthcare is in the United States now.
Yep, that's right. And it's working for us.
Yeah, it's really working. So how's that going, Lamar? How are you doing wrapping and rewrapping that surgery site?
I asked them before I left the hospital. I said, now, how long will we leave this wrap on? And they said, well, leave it on for at least 3 days. And then don't get it wet. But after 3 days, you can take it off and then she can shower with, you know, that kind of stuff. And then you just rewrap it. But at that point, you'll have to rewrap it like every day. So we put off till about 4 days before she took showers, but we had it wrapped up. And she's got one leg outside of the shower and she's sitting inside the shower. It was a Not the greatest thing. And so, but we get all that done. So we unwrap it. And so we get ready to wrap it back. And it's like when you take something out of the box.
it won't go back in the box.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the person that wrapped her leg wraps 20 legs a day, been doing it for 10 years. Do it with her eyes closed. And it's just.
They went to school for it, Lamar.
Yes,
they learned it in school.
So, what I did, I was smart enough to take pictures of it as I unwrapped it. I took multiple pictures unwrapping so that I would know how to go back. Yeah. So, we get ready and we start wrapping. And my wife wants to participate. And she wants to be instructional. She can't wrap it herself, but she can't let me wrap it. Okay. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I'm wrapping and she's telling me what I'm doing wrong. And I'm wrapping and I'm unwrapping and I'm wrapping. And I never thought I would find anything harder than having your wife at the back when you're backing up a camper. I thought that would be the end of our marriage the second time we backed up a camper. I'm not sure we're going to be able to survive this, because it's like she goes, it's too tight. It's too tight. It's too loose. It's too loose. Oh, she said, you're not even on the way you wrap. She says, I can see my heel. I can see there's some skin. You can't have that. Don't make it too bulky. And I mean, I have wrapped and I have unwrapped and I have wrapped and I have unwrapped. I'm telling you, oh my gosh.
Hey, she needs to be glad Bob Lacey isn't there. Have you seen him wrap a gift? Have you seen him wrap a present?
See, the first thing I told her, I said, listen, do me a favor. You've seen me. I can wrap Christmas gifts. Like, nope. I wrap a lot of gifts. I said, so here's what I want you to do. Just don't say one word. Don't say one word and let me wrap it. And then if it's wrong, then we'll start all over again. Is that fair? Yeah, that's fair. I got about an inch and a half above the ankle. She goes, well, I was going to tell you right now, that's not working. I said, what happened to the pound? So, yeah.
She needs to be able to relax. You maybe, you know, play some music. James Brown, get that James Brown song, Get on Your Good Foot. See if that brings a little smile. Get on your good foot. Get on your good foot.
You know, Bob, this is going to give you chills, because Lamar and Carla also had to disinfect her leg with Dial soap before surgery, which Kevin had to do with a different kind of soap that we had to go find. And like before, like in the day leading up and before, like you have to disinfect your leg. And don't you feel like that's something they used to do for you at the hospital before they operated?
I had to get specific Dial soap. We had to wash it the night before and the night of the surgery. And I'm thinking, Ain't y'all got a jar or something up there that'll kill germs more than Dial soap? I mean, don't you swab don't you swab that orange stuff on there? I mean, y'all got any alcohol? See, look, it's a hospital. You've got alcohol.
They're covered in case something goes wrong, see? And they can say, well, you know, we asked you to do that, and we have no proof that you did.
Oh, my.
You did a bad job there, Lamar. That's why she's losing the foot.
They're saving you money. They're saving you money because a swab of Dial soap will go on your bill as being $478.
Oh, my gosh. And listen, I'm not making this up. As soon as we go to something else, I've got to take a break because I still didn't get it right, and I got to take a few minutes and wrap it again. I just found out I got to wrap it again.
Oh, my word. How long? How much longer?
This is going to make backing the camper up easier, though. The backing the camper up now is nothing. It's nothing. Right.
Folks, this is your real-world reminder to stay healthy.
Yes.
Right. Because this is what waits for you if anything goes wrong. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Avatar, The Last Airbender, now streaming on Netflix.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
You guys, I fell down a little rabbit hole of the conspiracy theories around the prolonged absence of the Princess of Wales, a.k.a. Princess Kate, Duchess Kate, Kate Middleton. And some of these stories, I mean, I don't know if any of you are following this. Some of these stories are wild. So one of the conspiracy.
2 weeks was a long time. Go ahead.
2 weeks. Oh, no. Months. She has not been seen in and won't be seen for months and months. She had surgery on January 17th. And will not be around till Easter or later. That's not 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. No, 2 weeks in the hospital is what I was referring to.
Yeah, 2 weeks in the hospital. So one of the conspiracy theories, this one is really vile, is that Prince William has a drinking problem and that their marriage is nowhere near as happy as it's made to appear, and that he got handsy and knocked her around and she had to be hospitalized for treatment for injuries and cosmetic surgery repair. That is so unbelievable. That can't possibly be real.
I don't believe that.
Now, Max will tell you that if you read Prince Harry's book, William does have an attemper and he does tend to get aggressive. I don't believe that one either, but you can see why people are saying it. Here's the next one. And this came from a reporter out of Spain who claimed that she had the exclusive medical scoop on Princess Kate. And she said that Kate had complications after that abdominal surgery and that she had to be placed into an induced medical coma. And that the 15-day recovery period in the hospital was actually Kate being intubated and on a vent and being very, very touch and go. Now, of course, the palace denied all of that and went after this reporter, but she will not back down and refuses to retract the story. So there's one. And then, of course, there were the usual ones about, you know, tummy tuck. There's no tummy to tuck. I mean, what are we tucking? Unless she's getting my tummy tucked. Like, what is she? What tummy does Kate Middleton have to tuck? Another one is that she underwent a hysterectomy. But a lot of doctors say, yeah, it's just you don't really need 3 weeks in the hospital for that. Mm-hmm. Because, like, even women considerably older than she is don't need 3 weeks in the hospital with that. And then there was the next theory, which is treatment for anorexia, which a lot of people have jumped on more than any of the others so far. So we've got the William got drunk and violent. we've got something went wrong on whatever the abdominal surgery was, and it was a medical emergency. We've got the hysterectomy. And of course, we have the other, which the eating disorder, the anorexia, and then the old, she just wanted to have cosmetic surgery done, and the royal family had to cover for it. So, any of them ring true to you?
There's a case for the anorexia. I'm not saying that's the case, but that's at least a possibility, because she's under a lot of pressure to maintain, you know, a certain look and all that kind of stuff.
She is the most beautifully dressed woman in the world.
I don't
follow her, but, you know, you're checking out at the grocery store and there's People Magazine, one of the other magazines, and you see her in these glorious dresses. One is just prettier than the other. You know, the anorexia thing, I heard that floating around too. And obviously I'm not a doctor, but she seemed to look healthy in all these things. Yeah, she's thin.
Yeah, she doesn't look nothing would, you know, but who knows?
No,
I don't know. That's a
there's not a sunken face
condition.
Or, you know,
it's a complicated condition.
I'll tell you why I'm going with medical emergency. I have a reason for why I'm going with medical emergency over drunken William, eating disorder, any of it. Because she went into the hospital on the 16th, and it was the next day that the palace announced that she would be remaining in the hospital and would not be returning to public life until after Easter.
Mm-hmm. See, I would say it was cosmetic surgery and the recovery of, but, you know, I don't see what she needed to improve, you know.
I certainly understand that anorexia beautiful. Thing, because I fought it all my life, and I've won every
Have
battle.
You?
Yeah, won every battle.
You're so brave.
We're praying for you.
Yeah. I just hope she's. I hope she's okay. I hope she's okay. You know, not a single photo, nothing. That's why I'm leaning toward medical emergency. I hope we're all wrong, and that she just decided to take a break. But it is unsettling. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
You know, if you had the same name as a celebrity, it probably isn't too bad, right? You're a guy and somehow you have the name Harrison Ford, or you've got the name George Clooney, or you're a woman and your name is Kate Upton, you know? Yeah, there's going to be people that, you know, give you the little bit of business here and there, but you probably could deal with it okay. There's a guy, he is 30 years old, and his name is Taylor Swift.
That's hard.
He is 5 years younger than Taylor, but as soon as the singer shot to fame, Mr. Swift got teased. He said, similar to most kids, when I was in middle school trying to figure out who I was and what I wanted to be, it was hard. But a couple of high school bullies and a choir teacher would make jokes about my name every day. He says his name is the topic of, quote, every social interaction I have, including, evidently he's in politics, including my political career. But he decided to have fun with it and look at it as an overall positive. He added, I like my name, and I think it has helped me more than hurt me, even at work. And he has an icebreaker. Please feel free to make jokes. I'll shake it off later. I give this guy...
I give this guy
so much credit. I got to tell you, if it were me and I'm in middle school or high school in North Haven High School and I'm walking down the halls, I'm listening to, oh, here comes Tay-Tay. Hi, Tay-Tay. Oh, my God. It would be just an absolute nightmare. I mean, I don't know what to say about this guy's strength. Every single day, it's got to be a battle. And what is your name, sir? Taylor Swift.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Every single place he goes.
God love the poor boy. Man, he's a man.
I know.
It could be worse, though. It could be worse. I mean, wouldn't you rather be Taylor Swift, have that name, you know, than Charles Manson or something?
Yeah, you're right. Or Hitler. Yeah. Poor Hitler. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
I know you don't really believe in astrology, but Zodiac Fact, which is one of the things I follow on Twitter, tweeted a bunch of one-liners about each astrological sign. And tell me this isn't true, okay? Just give me this one little piece of truth.
Who
are you ready?
Has a more open mind than me? Huh?
I'm going home, Sarah.
How much time is there in this break?
Go ahead. Let's hear it. Wide open.
I'll say what it says about me first and tell me if you disagree.
All right.
A Capricorn can't go one day without being an overachiever.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, that is true.
It's my curse and my blessing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's true. A Capricorn
mm-hmm.
can't go one day without being an overachiever. Mm-hmm. A Virgo can't go one day without overthinking.
Mm-hmm. It's really mean.
It's really true, but you're upset about it.
Well, I mean, you're coming on like, people always admire overachievers. Oh, don't be an overachiever, but they admire them secretly.
Nobody admires an overthinker, no.
So that starts off my day, you know. With a foot in the bucket, you know what I mean?
Well, let's.
I mean, thanks.
Let's rethink this. Is it true that
no one? Let's just drop it.
Is it true that no one admires an overthinker?
No one does. No, it says this person is so uptight and so paranoid that he can't get out of his own way. He's got no game because he sees what it is. Then he goes, "Oh, I could be wrong." Because I don't believe in myself, and he thinks it and thinks it and thinks it. Who wants to be around somebody like that? Who would admire that? You know what? I hope little Jimmy here grows up to be an overthinker.
Here's what it is.
Who's ever heard that?
An overthinker is thought to be a person of inaction. That's why.
Inaction?
Yes. An overthinker.
That is not me.
I know that's not you, but I'm just saying that's what we've
many times my actions are wrong. Or misled.
And that gives you something to think about.
Yeah. Then I have to think about that. Oh, don't do that again. Yeah.
Let's hope little Jimmy grows up to be an overthinker.
You ever heard that? You ever heard anybody say that about their kid?
We're sure excited about her. She's only four, but she's showing all the signs of being an overthinker.
Yeah. Welcome to Overthinkers Anonymous. My name is Bob. Hi, Bob. I don't think I overthink everything. I used to shoot from the hip a lot.
Got you into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it did. That's when I became an overthinker. After
an overthinker.
So an overthinker, he never gets anything done? Is that what it is?
You're reading all this stuff into
anything
it.
Else? What
I
else
told
does
you
it say?
It's one-liners. A Capricorn can't go one day without being an overachiever. A Virgo can't go one day without being an overthinker. A Scorpio can't go one day without feeling in control.
You know, when I became an overthinker, when some things started going wrong in my life, and not the obvious ones that I've experienced in the last couple of years, but just some time ago.
Little things that,
you know, sometimes turn into big things. And so you start, you know, perhaps analyzing a little bit more. And as you get a little bit older, I think you start, you know, analyzing a little bit more. Ooh, I don't want to go there. That could be bad.
What would be a good, let's say you are raising a young overthinker. What are some good careers where that overthinking can be harnessed and made to serve the greater good?
Think tank.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what better place for an overthinker than a think tank?
Whatever happened to Bob? Oh, he's in a Washington think tank. Really? Yeah. They found out he was an overthinker. And so they hired him for a think tank in Washington. All day long, he's in an office where he thinks. And then he comes out and he tells them what he thinks.
Oh, like you wouldn't enjoy that.
Oh, I'm not saying I wouldn't enjoy that. I'd love it.
That last part where you get to come out of the tank and share your thoughts.
That's exactly right.
That'd be the best part of the day.
Yeah. Mary, I'm leaving radio to join a think tank. I'll be thinking all about everything. Say what? Same old, same old?
So what besides a think tank would an overthinker be good at? Would an overthinker be a good
analyst?
Policy analyst?
Yeah, policy analyst.
Yeah.
But you know what? Overthinkers tend to be middle management. and not the big thinkers. I know this. Think about the people that we work with.
Who spend 2 hours crafting a memo about sharpening your pencil in the break room.
Yeah. But that's not me. That seriously.
No, because you're a specialized overthinker. You know, you're not just some run of the mill middle management overthinker.
It sounds like a good thing, Bob, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You're a specialized
overthinker.
You ever notice when there aren't many of them, it's not good?
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
All month, we're celebrating single people at bobandsherry.com. Why don't you go over there right now and enter to win a me party box from the Scone Goddess and Maine Needhams. So, Bob, we got a couple of messages just for you in our TalkBack app.
Hey, Bob, okay. Sherry, Lamar, Max, and Doc. This is Jenny from Philadelphia. I've been listening to the show since I was a little girl. Back then, I lived in Ohio, as did my husband, where there were a lot of Mennonites. And I just heard the part on the show from Friday where Bob mentioned how he always forgets about the Mennonites and are they like Amish light? And I thought that was funny because my husband had looked into it at one point and found out that, as he said, the same as Bob did, the Mennonites actually aren't Amish light. It's that the Amish are super Orthodox Mennonites, that they broke off from the Mennonites, but they're the ones we always think of because they're so much more extreme. Anyway, thought you might find that interesting. I love the show.
Yeah.
Look forward to hearing more podcasts in this coming week. Okay, bye.
I didn't know that.
That is interesting.
I knew that there was they were related in some way, and one was more conservative than the other, but I didn't know that it was a branch that broke away from the original Mennonites. The Mennonites, they seem so nice, don't they? I mean, when I think of the Mennonites, I think of these great furniture makers, and you never hear of, you know, a Mennonite, robbing a bank or something. They just seem like nice people.
It's the same with the Amish. They're like, let them live. Let them churn their butter and ride around in their wagons and not have
the
internet. Let these people live.
Right.
Now, we have another message for you, Bob, and this is very, very important because this person wants to save you from getting the bubonic plague.
Hey, Bob and Sherry and gang. I'm just calling about a case of the bubonic plague that was just found in Oregon, and they got it from their cat. It's from a flea bite. But the important thing is, Bob, tell Mary to stop feeding the squirrels. They said do not feed the wild animals, the squirrels, because if they carry the bubonic plague and she got bit or scratched, anyway, just a warning. Thanks, guys. Bye.
One more thing to worry about, right?
I swear I'd rather get the plague than confront her with her squirrel feeding.
You know what, Bob? No, you're making the right call, my friend, because they can treat the plague. They can.
Yes.
They can. I didn't know that, really.
Yeah.
Antibiotics. I mean, listen, you don't want the bubonic plague. You don't.
No.
Mostly because that's all anybody will ever talk about for the rest of your life is, hey, did you hear that guy on the radio got the bubonic plague? I mean, it'll become your new brand. You'll become Bubonic Bob. And that's
Tony is listening right now, and he's saying maybe we could, if he got that, maybe we could sell it in some way, you know?
We would profit.
Yeah.
We would, and you would want us to. I mean, you know how this works. You would want to be bubonic.
Yes.
But knowing how Mary feels about her squirrel friends, you're right. You're better off with the plague.
She has not gotten this batch of squirrels close enough to be bitten or anything like that. They're coming. I saw her the other day. They're about 6 feet away. Now, when we lived in the old house, they were jumping up on her lap. They jumped up on my arm and got a peanut.
Mm.
So that is what she's working toward. I guess I should mention the bubonic plague.
You'll know something's wrong if they go for the throat. They'll go for the throat if they're rabid.
Here's the thing. Like, if you develop like a big, painful, hot, swollen node, like in your armpit, That's one of the signs that you have the bubonic plague. So maybe just mum's the word until you pop a symptom.
Until that happens.
If it's really bad, that's why they called it the Black Death, because people would actually would start turning black, their skin.
Yeah. But you'll get treatment before it gets to that.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. You got time.
Hey, it's a dangerous world out there. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? I'm going to give that some thought. Actually, I may mention it to her. And thank you to our listener. We always appreciate input on any subject here in the Bob and Sherry Show. You can go to our app, wherever you get your apps, and download it and let us know what's going on with you. This is Bob and Sherry. So I'm going to give you a term that you may not have heard of in just the moment, a new term. But as soon as I explain to you what it means through the pages of Psychology Today, you will say, oh, I know exactly what that is. They define in Psychology Today micro-cheating. It is a relationship trend that has small breaches of trust in a relationship that don't pass the threshold of a physical affair. And here are some of the examples. Secretly chatting with an ex-partner online or perhaps on the phone. Behaviors that lead someone to question their partner's emotional or physical commitment. And that comes up where you call someone that you've known and perhaps dated in the past, and you complain about your spouse to them privately, secretly. It also could be just secret messaging someone, deleting messages, complaining to other people that you're unhappy with your situation. All of this is surreptitious. It is a secret friendship. If you are following someone online, or God forbid, actually following someone, that is micro-cheating too. There's a lot of stuff out there, and you need to ask yourself, I guess, if you're really committed to a relationship, should I be doing this? Am I micro-cheating? Being touchy with somebody, lying about your relationship status online or offline. I think that's more than micro-cheating. I think that is looking for trouble. Deleting messages. For instance, you have not, you know, been in contact with an old girlfriend from many years ago, but she finds you and she sends you a message. You respond, but then you delete it. That is micro-cheating, according to Psychology Today. What do you think?
Oh, I agree with that. Because think about why you're deleting it. You don't want it seen. And you don't want it seen because then you have to explain it. And you feel like a little bit maybe guilty about the conversation or the existence of the communication at all. Yeah. Why else are you deleting it?
It's such a tricky situation. You know, it's just so tricky because you may be totally in love with the person that you're with, right? You want to stay with them. There's no problem in your relationship. But you had a couple of relationships in the past, and they ended for whatever reason. But they weren't, you know, real blow-ups. There was not alimony involved. It was just, we're going to go our own way. And you know that they're nice people, and you'd like to see if they're doing okay. Sometimes if you're in that situation and you tell your spouse, you know, I'm going to check in with Claire and see how Claire's doing. If you get a negative response from the person you're married to, that pretty much kills that relationship forever with the ex person. Because if your current person, the love of your life, is uncomfortable with that, you really can't go on. So what's your other choice? Micro-cheating, if you really want to talk to that person.
But look, listen to what you're saying. We'll say in this case, Mary. Mary is really uncomfortable with you staying in communication with Claire. So you're choosing, despite how that makes her feel, to remain in communication. So now you're going to do it on the down low.
Right. There's something, that's what I say. You shouldn't.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I don't believe that kind of, I don't want you doing stuff on the down low. Like, right. I'm going to trust you. You want to have a chit-chat with your old girlfriend? Okay. Yeah, I'd rather trust you with that than make you sneak around. This is complicated.
That's what I said when I started this. Go ahead, Lamar.
When you start doing this kind of thing, it complicates your life because you got to worry about your phone. You got to worry about the computer. Listen, my phone lays on the counter. Both of our phones lay on the counter. She can pick my phone up and do anything she wants to do. It's such a comfortable life. Otherwise, it's just too much trouble. Yeah. Not doing
too much trouble. It's not worth it. So, bottom line is, if she's uncomfortable with your talking with her, you just got to say goodbye to her. You got to let her go. That's right. So, anyway, interesting article. It's Bob and Sherry.
Happy hour tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
A park in Prairie Village, Kansas, is at the center of a pickleball controversy due to neighbors complaining about what they call a noisy game. They might actually get rid of all six pickleball courts at Windsor Park. That's one of three options on the table right now because some of the neighbors cannot stand the noise. Pickleball is a loud sport, as the goal is to hit a plastic ball with a plastic paddle. The flap, flap, flap sound is constant, and it can get as loud as 70 decibels, the same level of noise as a vacuum cleaner. The city council's looked into this noise-dampening curtains to put around the court. They did a noise study to find out which neighbors were affected the most. To put these dampening curtains up is $23,000. But if they put the curtains up, then some of the neighbors can't see their kids playing in the park across the street. It'll block the parents' views. Prairie Village is not the only city dealing with pickleball noise. Many other towns here and across the country are figuring out ways to let people play this popular sport without annoying the neighbors. Now it seems the millennials are complaining about the noise and saying, "Get off my lawn." So it has come completely full circle. Old people that are making all the noise with the pickleball. Yeah. I've never played pickleball myself, but I've been through some neighborhoods, and like when they've got that court out there and they're out there playing, it's a crowd. I mean, it's not just four people. It's a crowd of people, and they're all excited about it, and cars are parked everywhere. So I can see where it may be annoying if it's in your neighborhood. But
it's a tournament sport. Yeah, it's a tournament sport right now.
If you love it, you love it, and I don't blame you. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.